In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning. How are the roads? It was a real blessing for Jane and I because we haven't seen snow for quite some time, at least not this kind of snow. And it's like coming home for us because we spent so much time in Colorado. So good morning. Jane and I are happy to be here with you from South Carolina. It's good to be in a place where it's obvious that God paused during creation and just to make this that much more special. Have you ever had a really busy day? I mean, in a good way, not a bad way. Have you ever had a busy day of being who you were meant to be? And doing, because of that, doing what God put you here to do? I couldn't help but think about these things when Jane and I were coming out on Friday on the plane, even in that hurricane that we hit as we were landing on Friday night. It was a fun ride. But I couldn't help but think about that because Jesus that we hear in our gospel passage today and last week, put them together, had a very busy day. He had a very busy day. It was a Sabbath, and when they got up, probably early in the morning, which was normal for them, they would have gone up to worship at the synagogue just down the street. And as a matter of fact, if you go there right now, if you were in to visit the place, you'd find the ruins of that very synagogue just blocks away from Peter's house. And while they're there that morning, Jesus healed a man right there in front of the whole congregation. And I have no doubt when he healed the man that he also shared some words, some teachings that went along with his actions. Because when the people were done with the service that day and they were in coffee hour or wherever, that's all they could talk about. All they could talk about was this amazing teaching that they had just received that was given with an authority that they really had never seen before, not the kind of authority that the scribes would have had. And then after the service was over, Jesus and those with him would have gone back to Peter's house. And they would have relaxed for a while, but then at sundown, when the Sabbath ended, they started to line up. The people came and they started to line up. They came with illnesses and struggles, and they were all healed. They were all healed that day. And the evening went on, and finally it got late, and then they went back to their homes. I'm sure just thinking about coming again the next morning, bringing their friends, so that they, their friends, and themselves could be amazed again. It was a good busy day. The kind of day that ends with a smile on your face, on your tired face at the end of the day. You know, when I think about passages like the ones we've heard this week and last week, I think that it's safe to say that they inspire us and they intrigue us. They teach us in a way that is still amazing to us today. And it might even give us something to talk about at coffee hour or Flipper Sunday that we're about to have. We gravitate towards powerful messages like these. Messages like God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that whoever believes in him would have eternal life. And we immediately recognize, I am the way and the truth and the life. And prepare the way for the Lord and follow me and I'll make you fish for people. One we heard just a couple of weeks ago. These and so many others are great uplifting words from wonderful passages that we have heard since our childhood. But sometimes it is the part of the passage that seems ordinary that carries the most powerful part of the message. Sometimes it's in the words that we seem to skip by. That if we were just to linger a little bit longer, we would find profound truth. And I think we have one of those this morning. Maybe you caught it. Jesus woke up early before the sun rose, and he went off by himself to pray. And when the others woke and couldn't find him, I can almost imagine that there was a certain amount of anxiousness on these newly minted disciples, because the people were coming. They were lining up. They were coming to Paul, to Peter's house. And when they found Jesus, they said something that in many ways framed Jesus' whole ministry. The disciples found him and told him one of the basic truths of our human existence ever since we decided to go it on our own. In the simple words that often get quickly passed over, they told Jesus, "Everyone is looking for you. Everyone is looking for you, Lord." You know, that acknowledgement might seem like a Passover statement, a pass-on-by statement, but at a deeper level, they were proclaiming a profound truth. In a troubled and lost world, everyone is looking for Jesus. Now, I know that may not, in our times, that may not seem so obvious. For example, here in Helena, the Chamber of Commerce says in their statistics that 60% of the population here list their religious affiliation as none. And so the statement of everyone is looking for Jesus might seem like a bit over the top, but I think it's true. It is the same in Greenville and New York and down the road at Missoula and Chicago and all around the world. Everyone is searching for something that has gone missing from their lives. And it's just that so many of them don't know what it is that they're searching for. There's an emptiness within us that needs to be filled. An emptiness that goes all the way back to the day that we were expelled from the garden. Everyone is searching. And the truth that goes with that by extension is that everyone is going to find something. They're going to find something. The emptiness that now exists within us will be filled, even if it's only temporary. It might be filled with stuff. Do you know what one of the fastest growing businesses in the country is? Anyone? I don't know if it's true here in Helena, but I know it is in Greenville. Mini storage units are popping up almost on every street corner. We are searching to fill the emptiness, and we need a place to put all those things that we are gathering in order to do that. Or maybe it's in physical relationships that we use to fill the void, or maybe it's power or prestige or image and beauty, or maybe it's just substances that help us dull our ability to recognize that there is a void. Whatever it is, the fact is that we are all searching. We are all looking for the one thing that will make our lives okay. And far too often, we settle for the first and easy thing that comes along. C.S. Lewis said it like this in his book, The Weight of Glory. He wrote, "We are half-hearted creatures fooling around with drink and sex and ambition when infinite love is being offered for us and to us. We," he continued, "we are like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in the slum because we cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea." He concluded by saying, "We are far too easily pleased." Which brings us to us. Brings us to us, the church. In a world that seems distracted and divided and eerily satisfied with our dissatisfaction, we have found the sea. Or at least we found the road to the sea. And it's put us on a mission. And the mission is twofold. The first part is that we, on the road to the sea, are there to embrace the joy of the road that we're on. We are to immerse ourselves in the journey that we are called to be on together. Whether it be here at St. Peter's or in the Diocese of Montana or Christians throughout our country or in the world, we are called to be sacred partners in community together on the road to the sea, or maybe to the mountains, or to a lake in the country. We are made for a special place that is no longer outside of our imagination. We can see it just over the horizon. And we are to be drawn near to Christ and embrace each other in a loving community so that we can become all that God is hoping for us. That's the first and great commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your strength and your mind. Then, through that, in order to love your neighbor as yourself, the second great commandment, we are to invite others onto the road with us so that they might find joy and engage peace and embrace something currently beyond their imaginations. It reminds me, in my summers when I was in college in Boston, I would work during the week and then I would take a few additional classes on the side. But when Friday came, when Friday hit, my friends and I would cram into our beat-up cars and we'd head to Cape Cod for the weekend. And as we were approaching the bridge that would go across the water, the interstate often would just come to a standstill because it was jammed with thousands of people doing the same thing that we were. And as we crept along, we would roll down our windows and often even get out of our cars and simply enjoy the journey together. I'm sure that there are those who are looking down from the overpasses and thinking that we were insane. We were just insane as we laughed and we met new people all heading to the same place. All on the way to the sea. Wishing that the people on the bridge would come and join us. The world is searching. And whether they recognize it or not, they are searching for what we already have. Our mission, through love and service and teaching, is to help them find Him. After all, He came to be found. He came to be found, and it is in finding Him that we are then able to find ourselves and each other. All for the sake of the world. The truth is, after all, everyone is searching. Amen.